You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Good evening, and good evening. Once again, this is Kingdom Recovery every Friday night from 5 until 6 o'clock here on WCNO. I am Pastor Tom Karras sitting in tonight, of course, for Lou Ann and for James. Lou Ann's still out of town taking care of grandbabies, and James is off also tonight, so they gave me the opportunity here tonight to go ahead and preach on the Kingdom of God. Once again, Pastor Tom Karras. I'm from Treasure Coast Victory Center in beautiful Fort Pierce, Florida. Basically, that's where our training center is. My phone number is 772-812-1246. Once again, 772-812-1246. Basically, we have written a couple books. We've written three books now, and they're available to you. The first one is called What Now? The second one is called Kingdom Now? And the third one is No More Bad Days, and that's sort of a daily thing that you can have and read every day, get the Word of God and meditate on it. And those are available to you from the radio station here, from Lou Ann, or from myself. You can call us. They are absolutely free. We send them out, get them out to you, or you can pick them up at any of our locations. So it's an honor to be here once again tonight, and I'm going to talk about the Kingdom of God. And number one, let me just start off by saying the Kingdom of God is actually a government. If you've ever heard of the word kingdom, kingdom is a form of government, just like democracy, just like socialism, just like communism. It's a kingdom. It has a king, basically, and then it has the people underneath the king. But the king is the ruler of the thing. The Bible talks a lot, and Jesus did a lot, about the Kingdom of God. What was he talking about? He was talking about a spiritual government, basically, that he wanted here, not only in heaven, but here on the earth. It's a government where he is the king and he is the ruler, and it's a government much different than what we're experiencing now anywhere in the world. Basically, it's a government that will actually work. So I want to start off. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to cover quite a bit of scripture here because the scripture basically speaks for itself. Isaiah chapter 9, look at verse 6. Now you've heard this scripture a lot, basically around the Christmas time. Verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it." Now, when we read this, you know, around Christmas time, we're talking about the birth of Jesus. But here, notice it's talking about what Jesus did when he came back. Basically, when he came back, he brought God's government with him. He says the kingdom of God is upon the shoulders of Jesus, who is coming to bring it back. He said the increase of this government will never end. That means the government of God, or the kingdom of God, is on the increase even now as we're sitting here in this day and this hour. It's on the increase. And you've got to know now that government is basically God's idea. It was his idea from the very beginning. It was not man's idea. It was God's idea. And here it tells you that Jesus, when he came back as a baby, he came back to bring to earth God's government that man had lost, which is called the kingdom of God. Whenever you go through the four Gospels and you read about Jesus, all he talks about is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like this, the kingdom of God is like that. What was he doing? He was trying to bring back the kingdom of God to a people who had lost the kingdom of God and the idea of the kingdom of God. So So governments are basically God's idea. It was his idea to begin with. What are governments for? Well, they're basically supposed to provide order and peace and justice for every nation and every place in the world, for all mankind, to eliminate chaos in the world. Well, basically, we can see that governments of today aren't doing very good, so there has to be a government that can come in and can straighten things out, and that's what the kingdom of God is coming to earth for. So God's desire and plan was to set up a heavenly government, not only in heaven, but also on the earth. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Start right at the beginning. Genesis chapter 1 says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Here we see the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, that basically God was not into chaos. He was not into darkness. When he came, the earth was like it was. It was without form. It was without void. So he created, started a kingdom. He created the heavens. Now we know the heaven basically is where we're going to go when we die if we're born again. But heaven, you have to understand, is a real place. Just because you can't see it and you can't touch it right now, it is a real place. It's just a spiritual place. So heaven is a real country. He also created here what's called the earth. Now, we all know about the earth. We're living on the earth. We've been on the earth. And God basically had a plan for himself to be king over the earth and king in heaven. Now, why did he have to create the heavens? Because a king cannot be a king unless he has a domain, unless he has something to rule over. So that's why he created the heavens, so he could have a kingdom up there, and his domain would be the spiritual, invisible place called heaven. So his plan was different for the earth. He created the earth realm, which is visible, which we can see and we can touch and we live on. But he did not want to be king over the earth. He just wanted to be king over heaven. So what did he do? He created someone in his image and in his likeness. In other words, just like he is in his image and likeness, he created them another domain, another territory called earth, so they could actually be rulers and kings on that planet. So earth was designed to be just like heaven in the beginning. It was supposed to be a place of order. It was supposed to be a place of justice. It was basically through man's rule at that time, and man was going to rule that under the rulership of God in heaven. Well, mankind proceeded to mess up God's plan when Adam and Eve rebelled against the kingdom of God. When man fell and Adam fell, he disconnected himself from God's government. Basically, he did high treason and came against the government of God through his disobedience. And at that time, a new kingdom sprung out on the earth called the kingdom of darkness. Now, the kingdom of darkness, of course, is the kingdom that Satan rules over, that's here on the earth. You can see the results of it. The chaos that goes on, the killings, the murders, the sin that goes on is basically under that kingdom here on the earth, which is called the kingdom of darkness. And why is that? Why is the kingdom of darkness so bad? Because the leaders are corrupt. Satan is ahead of it, and even in the natural realm, it doesn't matter if we try to start a government called communism, we try to start a dictatorship, we try to start even a democracy. Most of them failed and are failing and have failed simply because the ones running the government are corrupt. And almost all the world's problems, when you think about it, are a result of either government or religion. Most of the religions out there are what causes terrorists all over the place. Most of the religions are fighting each other. Governments are bombing each other, fighting each other. There's wars. There's hunger. There's terrorism. Health epidemics. There's racial conflicts. Greed is a problem. Why is that? All because of mismanagement of a government. Government and religion simply have added to the problems that they are created to solve. They've made them even worse than it was. And there's only one answer for bad government. What is the only answer for bad government? It is good government. Look at Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, look at verse 2. I'm finding it just like you are. Chapter 2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn." So what's it talking about here? It's talking about government once again. It's talking about a government is only successful if its ruler is righteous If its ruler is someone who is loving, if its ruler is just and kind, it's someone who actually cares about the citizens who are underneath him. Now, we see a lot of kingdoms like dictatorships about the same thing in the earth right now. The problem is the kings or the dictators don't really care about the people underneath them. They just care about what they can get and what they can do. Well, the kingdom of God is a great government because the king is God himself. He is your father. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants the best for you. So the kingdom of God is trying to make a re-entrance back into the earth realm that mankind lost when Adam and Eve sinned. Jesus said he would bring it in upon his shoulders. All right, look at Matthew chapter 6. When you start to study the kingdom of God, the Bible really opens up to you because the Bible is not really a book about religiosity and religion. It's about a king, his kingdom, and his family. That's what the whole thing is about. And when you read it from a kingdom aspect and a legal aspect rather than a religious aspect, it starts to really make sense to you. All right, chapter 6, look at verse 10. This was the prayer that Jesus gave to his disciples, part of it. It says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven," so that we know what God's will is. God's will is that his kingdom would come into the earth, his will would be done on the earth, just like it is being done in heaven. So Jesus came back. What did he come back for? One of the main things he came back for was to bring the kingdom of God back into the earth realm. Now, this was not a new plan of God. This was not something he just thought up. This was something way back in Genesis, from the start of this, that his plan was. God never changes his plan just because man messes it up. He continues on in the plan and tries to find someone who will do it for him. So this was not a new plan. This was the original plan that God had basically for the earth at that time. So he not only brought back the return of God's government, but then he went on to pay the debt to mankind so that all could be born back into the kingdom of God and become citizens and sons in the family of God and citizens in the kingdom of God. All right, go to 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, little John, look at verse 16. It says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God dwells in him." So here it's telling you about God. God does not have love. God is love. Now, you got to think, why did God do this? Why did he create the heavens? Why did he create the earth? Why did he create mankind? As a matter of fact, why the heck did he create me and put me in this place? Well, I believe this is the answer because it says God is love. And one thing about love in the Bible, another word for it is charity. Love needs to give. It needs to give to someone. It needs to give to just to show. The Bible says that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Why? Because he loved the world so much. So God's desire was to have a family. I believe he wanted someone to love, someone to give to, someone to give a position to. That's why he gave man rulership here on the earth as a shadow rulership, basically, of his kingdom of heaven. So when God created the spiritual, invisible place called heaven, he created a visible, physical territory also called the earth. His intention was to be king and ruler of heaven, and to be king of the heavenly government itself. All right, back to Genesis chapter 1. All right, now let's look at verse 26. "And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, he created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that creeps upon the earth." So here's God's second thing that he did. What did he do? He created for himself an offspring, if you will. He created for himself a man, notice, in his image and in his likeness, just like God, to be ruler and king over this physical earth that he made. He wanted them to rule. Here he passes dominion on to them. He says, let them have dominion. Well, who's he talking about? He's talking about the man that he created. He did not say, let us have dominion, because if he did, then basically God would be in charge here on the earth along with man. But notice he said, let them, talking about man, to have dominion, to have management, to rule here on the earth. Then he proceeded to breathe his spirit into mankind. What did this do? It enabled man to be in the image and likeness of God, to have power, to have authority, and basically be made with God's nature on the inside of him. He expected that earth then would possess the same morals, the same values, the same character, the same culture in heaven, and the same on earth through mankind. But as we know, that was messed up by Adam and Eve when they allowed a kingdom of darkness to come in, and at basically that time, the kingdom of God had to exit because of what they did. All right, look at Psalm 115. All right, Psalm 115, look at verse 15. It says, you are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. Now we covered that. Verse 16, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. So here he makes a separation between the two. Heaven is God's place to rule, God's place to reign. And then he created the earth, and notice who he gave that to. He gave that to the children of men. He gave that to his offspring. He gave that to his sons, and they would be responsible now for managing and ruling the earth according to the Father's will. I like to call it God and sons. God is in charge of heaven. Man was in charge of the earth. Notice God never wanted to come to the earth to rule over the earth. That's why he created man to do that. His job is ruling in heaven, and I think he's doing a very good job up there. The problem is man is not doing quite the job down here that they need to be doing. So God is ruling a territory. That territory is heaven. His sons are ruling for him on the earth. That's why you are here. You are here to rule and reign and manage the earth in this day and in this hour. We long for a place where there's no strife and hatred and murder and evil and all that stuff. Basically, we long for the day sometimes when we're going to die and go to heaven. But God's desire was not to get us to heaven ever. He doesn't even preach on that, but to get heaven into the earth through mankind who you are. That's what you're here to do. You're here to reinstate the kingdom of heaven ways, the culture, the power, the authority, everything basically that's in heaven, to bring it back into the earth realm through the new birth that you have and the power that you have. So this is what God wanted from the start, for the earth to be a replica of heaven itself. God never wanted the earth to be like the earth is right now. That was a mistake that man made. So this was God's big picture from start to finish. He was going to create heaven. He was going to create earth. He was going to rule over heaven. Then basically he was going to have mankind rule over the earth. All right, Genesis chapter 2 shows where man failed. All right, Genesis chapter 2, look at verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden they mayest eat freely from, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, God gave basically Adam and Eve an option of what they could do. Basically, he gave it to Adam, and he should have relayed it to Eve, that basically he wanted them not to eat off that one tree because it would mess everything up. Well, God's plan was interrupted by Adam and Eve's rebellion. The results of their sin, notice what it says, is death. Now, the word death here is twofold. It basically has an S on the end of it. It's death. What does that mean? Man's going to die spiritually. He is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body, and he's also going to die physically because of the treason that he did. Now, physical death basically is just when you, a spiritual being, leaves your physical body, and you go on to be absent from the body as to be present from the Lord. Spiritual death is being separated from God, from his nature, from the kingdom of God, from the spirit of God. There was a nature change when man failed. Basically, he died spiritually at that time, and then he came under the rule of another kingdom that we've talked about, which is the kingdom of darkness led by Satan. When that happened, man's nature got messed up. In other words, it was perverted. The whole nature was perverted. Man lived in fear now instead of faith. We see that right off the bat, Adam and Eve were afraid, so they hid themselves from God. Instead of walking in love, which is the nature of God that they had in the beginning, they were now in self-love or selfishness. In place of trust, they had worry. In place of right standing, they now lived in sin. Because of this new nature changed, the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God had to leave man and had to leave the earth realm. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit of God can only be in a holy vessel. And when man sinned and lost his nature and basically took on the nature of the devil at that time, the Holy Spirit could not stay in that kind of vessel and had to leave. And when he left, the kingdom of God went with him because the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God go hand in hand. So what was man's plight? How were they doing? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 12. It says, now after the fall, that at that time we are now without Christ. We're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We're strangers from the covenants of promise. We have no hope, and we were without God in this world. That's the plight of every man who's born into this natural realm. You are born into this natural realm as a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, now when did I sin? Well, I sinned actually when Adam sinned. Now, why is that? That's not really fair. I wasn't even in the garden. I never bit off anything. I never did anything. So how could that be? It is because you were in Adam when Adam sinned and you came out of Adam. God only created one man. Everybody after that was created out of the inside of Adam. So if he was a sinner when he sinned, then basically you were created a sinner at the same time. Look at Romans chapter 5. All right, Romans chapter 5, look at verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Now, how did sin enter into the world? It entered in by Adam. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by that sin, and so death passed upon all men, because all men sinned. Well, when did they sin? They sinned when Adam sinned. So all mankind, everybody born in this earth realm, is born a sinner. They're born separated from God. They don't have the nature of God. They don't have the culture of God. They don't even have the morals of God. They don't have the values of God. So when we're born in this earth realm, basically, as this scripture says, we're pretty much a mess at that point. And basically it says we're without God, we're without the Spirit of God, we're without everything. So here it goes on to say in verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed to them where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him to come. So he says here, even though you weren't in the garden, you didn't sin, you got the results of the sin. And why is that? Because even in the natural realm, it's the same in the spirit. Everything produces after its own kind. I mean, if you have a cow and it's going to have a baby, how many know it's going to have a cow? It's not going to have a horse. I mean, an apple tree don't produce oranges. It produces apple. Everything produces after its own kind because the seed of that next thing is in it already. It was the same way in Adam. We were all in Adam at one time, and when we came out, we were all sinners, fall short of the glory of God simply because Adam had already sinned. So man could no longer manifest God's plan of the nature of God and the glory of God in the earth because he no longer had the nature of God or the glory of God. He had the nature of the devil. So the kingdom of God was completely on the outside. So after quite a long time, Jesus came, and what did he came? He came to bring the government of God back on his shoulders. He brought the nature of God with him. He brought the values of God with him. He did all that stuff basically, what for? To try to do something about the chaos that was in the earth realm at that time. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 2. When you got born again, your nature was changed back into the nature of God. That's why all the dumb stuff you were doing before you got saved, you could do and not worry about it. But once you got saved, when you did it, you started feeling guilty all the time. Why? Because that wasn't your nature anymore. It's not your nature to sin anymore. It's not your nature to be mad anymore. It's not your nature to curse anymore. It's not your nature to doing all that stuff because a miracle took place in your life, which was when you got born again and you became a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old thing, the old person you were died and you became brand new. So here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and you has he made alive who were dead in trespasses. So that says once again that we were dead at one time, but now we were made alive. Well, what were we like when we were dead? It says in verse 2, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our lifestyle in times past in the lust of our flesh. We fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as others. So every baby born in the world, this is who they are. This is their nature that they have, and it's because they came out of Adam who had sinned and went there. So man had died spiritually. When before I got born again, I walked according to my fleshly desires. All I cared about was my desires, my will. Didn't care about anybody else's because I had the nature of the devil. I was now under the control of the prince of the power of the air. Who's that? Well, that's the influence of Satan on people with their nature on the inside of them. And we were by nature the children of wrath. So Adam sinned, and notice the first thing he did, fear set in. He hid from God when God came around. Then what's the second thing he did? Well, he blamed his wife for what went wrong. And then when that didn't work, he decided to blame God because God created that darn wife that made him do wrong. So you can see that he was not really repenting. He was just trying to push everything off because of the nature on the inside of him. So God's big picture from the beginning of extending his nature and his culture into the earth through his man had stopped. There was nobody here to spread it. There was nobody with the nature of God. The evil nature of the kingdom of darkness was spreading in the earth. What happened? Well, right off the bat, you can see that Cain and Abel, one brother killed another brother. You could see the murder. You could see the sin. You could see everything that was in the earth. So God had to do something to get the kingdom of God back into this realm. So look at Luke chapter 1. All right, Luke chapter 1, look at verse 30. It says, and the angel said to Mary, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne, notice, a king, the throne of his father David. And he shall reign, king, over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, and therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So God basically never changed his plan. He never gave up on his plan. He continued his plan by sending his son, Jesus Christ, into the earth realm. Now, Jesus was not born of Adam, so he did not have that nature. He was actually born of God and born of the Spirit of God, so he had the nature of God and the Spirit of God on the inside of him. And he came back here to return a never-ending kingdom, and a kingdom that we found out earlier is even progressing right now as we sit here. He wanted to restart once again the process of God and sons that was lost once back into the earth again to fulfill what God's plan was in the very beginning. All right, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All right, 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 45. This is comparing Jesus basically to Adam once again. And in verse 45, it says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a life-giving spirit. Howbeit that which was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. In other words, Adam came first. Adam came in with the nature that he had, but a second Adam, or a last Adam, came in, and his name, of course, was Jesus Christ. Verse 47, the first man is of the earth earthy, the second man is the Lord of heaven. And as is the earthy, so are they also is the earthy. In other words, the way Adam was is the way that we are, because what he did. But notice, as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. So it's talking about you being born again as a heavenly person, basically now. You are like Jesus because you were born back into where man was in Genesis chapter 1. Verse 40 says, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall now bear the image of the heavenly. Thank God. Thank God we got rid of that nature. So Jesus came in the image and likeness of the Father with the nature and the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing back his kingdom. He came here, it says, as the last Adam. How many know this was our last shot? If Jesus would have failed, all humanity would have went down, but thank God he did not. How many know he was tempted? He could make a decision, but he made the right decisions. So he came as the last Adam to do what the first Adam failed to do. He came to extend God's kingdom into the earth realm and make it a replica of heaven itself. He spent his days preaching and demonstrating the kingdom of God. He suffered for man's debt. He then paid the price. He gave us access so that the kingdom of God would be available to anyone who wanted to get born again and enter the kingdom of God. Praise God. So when he went to the cross, what was he doing? He was opening an opportunity for mankind who is born into this world as sinners, born into this world as losers, to go ahead and re-enter the kingdom of God once again by being born again spiritually. He came to restore mankind back to his original position and purpose. Now, my original position was to be in the image and likeness of God, and my original purpose was to extend that kingdom of God back into the earth realm. That has never changed. That's your main purpose for being here, is the kingdom of God, nothing else. To spread and extend the kingdom of God, to extend immigration policy to other people here who don't even know about the kingdom of God. And basically in church right now, nobody even talks about the kingdom of God, mentions the kingdom of God. Well, if that's your purpose, and now you wonder where your purpose is, everybody's out there trying to find their purpose, trying to find it. Well, God has already given you your purpose. He said, my kingdom come, my will be done here on the earth as in heaven. Well, how's that going to take place? It's going to take place through his sons and daughters who are in his image and likeness, who come here and demonstrate his power, his authority, and everything else. And what did Jesus also do? He also had to take care of the kingdom of darkness. So he went to their ruler, and basically he beat him to a pulp, it says. He spoiled principalities and powers. He made to show them openly. The Bible says he stopped him and brought him to naught. So the devil basically has been defeated. Jesus did that. Now, there's nothing holding anyone back from entering the kingdom of God, but it's not something that God makes you do. It's something that you must choose to do. In other words, the kingdom of God is available to you, and you've got to choose to get in it. Well, I know God just sends people to hell. No, God don't send anybody to hell. You have a choice. You can choose to be born again, come into the kingdom of God, become a son of God, a citizen of God, take on the divine nature that God has given you when you got born again, start spreading peace into the world, joy into the world, using your power to set other people free who are born in this world that don't even know how to be born again, don't know Jesus, don't know how to be saved, don't know the kingdom of God. This is your responsibility to be here. This is why you are here, to extend, once again, in immigration policy to other people. All right, look at Romans chapter 4. I mean, have you ever talked to anybody about Jesus? Have you ever talked to anybody about getting born again or getting saved or whatever? It's more attractive if they know there's a better lifestyle on the other side of being born again than what they've got now. Most people think it's even going to be worse because now I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do that. Well, once you get born again, you won't want to do half the stuff that you're doing now that you think so wonderful. And if you just stop and think about all the stuff you're doing right now that you don't want to give up is killing you. Alcoholism's killing you. Smoking 10 packs of cigarettes a day is killing you. Drugs are killing you. Why does God want you in the kingdom? Because he doesn't want you dead. He has a plan for you. He wants you to come into the kingdom, get lined up with him, and start doing what he put you here to do before the foundations of the world. All right, Romans chapter 4, look at verse 25. It says, Jesus was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. Wow. So Jesus was raised from the dead. We all celebrate the resurrection day, and Jesus is alive, and Jesus was raised. But why? What makes a difference? Well, when Jesus was raised from the dead, that day it made available for mankind to be born again in the kingdom of God and basically be made justified, or just as if we had never sinned. In other words, it wiped out our past. Just like when we were born into this natural world, we got everything that Adam did, from sin to failure to everything else, even though we weren't there. When Jesus was raised from the dead, we get everything that Jesus provided for us, even though we didn't do anything to get it. The devil's defeated right now. He should be under your feet. But you've also been justified. You have been made a new creation, and you have been made righteous in right alignment with God. Now, why is this important that we're born back into righteousness? Because then the Holy Spirit now once again can come in the kingdom and live on the inside of mankind again, because mankind has been declared holy and blameless in the sight of God. Now the Spirit of God can come to live on the inside of you again. And the Holy Spirit is the key to the kingdom of God, because he's the only one who really knows the mind, the heart, the wisdom of God. So he comes on the inside of us, what? To help us fulfill the assignment that we have here on the earth of extending the kingdom of God. So the Holy Ghost, I know he's with you, but you've got to get the understanding. He's not only with you, he's in you. He's every place you go. He's there talking to you, speaking to you. What's he talking about? He's trying to explain the kingdom of God to you so that you can operate in it. So the kingdom culture becomes your culture. See, everybody wants to die and go to heaven just to get in the kingdom culture. But the kingdom culture, you can live in it down here. You can have, in the Old Testament, days of heaven here on the earth. And if you have days of heaven here on the earth, you're going to be spreading the heaven's cultures, its values, its morals, basically into this earth realm, because that's God's big picture for this earth. He's trying to return it back. Now, we know that at one time the heavens of the earth are going to be destroyed, and there's going to be a new heavens, and there's going to be a new earth, and I guarantee you that earth is going to be operating just like heaven. I don't think you'll be able to know the difference between the two, and of course God and us will be living side by side in both realms and everything else. But basically, it's to spread it. So once I was declared righteous. And once again, I'm going to say, you do not become righteous by doing things. You become righteous by what Jesus did for you. You'll never get righteous enough in your own to do it. That's why he said the Pharisees, basically, you better have a better righteousness than the Pharisees, because they were the most religious people in the world, and they were never declared righteous. But you were declared righteous simply by being born again. Listen to that. Born again. You were born in the natural realm of water, but now you've been born again. When you're born again, then you're born basically a citizen in the kingdom of God. You're born into the spirit realm again. The spirit man on the inside of you was born again, and that's what gives you the opportunity for the Spirit of God to come live on the inside of you. So the Holy Spirit comes. He's in you. What does he want to do? He wants you to spend time in the kingdom constitution, which is the Word of God, to find out who you are, to find out who God really is, to find out what you're called to do, to find out the ability that you need to do it is already on the inside of you. So he reveals to you the mind of God, the will of God, the intent of God, the heart of God. Before I was born again, I could care less what God's will was. I just wanted to do my will at that time. Whatever made me feel good was good with me. But notice, once you get born again and you have that nature on the inside of you, that kingdom void that's in you starts to operate on the inside of you, and all at once you start to develop the nature of God on the inside of you. So I'm a righteous person. I walk in righteousness. I'm a healed person. I walk in divine health. I'm a peaceful person. I walk in peace. And I can keep everything else out of my life that doesn't belong to me because of the authority that was given to me. Remember, we read it back in Genesis chapter 1. Let them have dominion. So you have dominion right now, and you don't have to do a lot of things that you're allowing in your life and asking God to do something about, because he's already given you the authority as a kingdom citizen to take care of those things in your life. So the Spirit of God comes, and he comes to lead you and to guide you into all truth. So what am I doing? I'm learning the truth about the kingdom of God. People say that, but Jesus is the way. Well, he is the way. Jesus is the truth. Well, he is. But Jesus is the way into the kingdom, the truth into the kingdom, and the life. He lived the life in the kingdom. And everything you see Jesus doing out there, he was the kingdom in two sandals. That's what the kingdom of God was like. That's how a kingdom person should be operating, how a kingdom person should be acting here in the earth realm. So he desires the Spirit of God to take rulership, what? Over the way you think, over your finances, over your family, over your marriage, everything to line it up with the way the kingdom of God would be if it was never knocked down and left the earth because of what Adam did. So the Spirit of God, let's just look at this. Go to Luke chapter 17. All right, Luke chapter 17, look at verse 20. And when it was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. In other words, it just doesn't pop up one day and you say, there's the kingdom of God. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, notice, the kingdom of God is in you. It's on the inside of you. So the kingdom of God itself, the vast kingdom of God, is already on the inside of you. And the Bible says that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children, and God is pleased to give you the entire kingdom. So you have the kingdom on the inside of you right now as God and sons, and the Spirit of God is in there, and the kingdom is on the inside of you. So basically, the kingdom of God is not like we think of takeovers or taking it advancing, because basically it's not territory. It doesn't have to do with territory. It has to do with taking over men's hearts and men's minds. We see religious people now, or even religions, trying to take over this country and take over that country and take over the physical properties. But that's not what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God wants to take over the hearts. It wants to take over the minds of men with God's kingdom on the inside of me. So with this in mind, then I've got the Holy Spirit in me. I've got the kingdom in me. And now I've got an assignment. I need to spread the kingdom of God that God has given me, and I need to continue to study the kingdom of God to find out its nature, its ways, its morals, its values, so that I can live in right standing with the kingdom of God and with the King himself. So now every place I go, what do I have? I have the kingdom of God in me. I have the ability of God in me. Where am I going there? Yeah, well, if I'm going to get groceries, I'm going there to extend the kingdom of God, to invade someone's life with the kingdom of God. And it's not really that difficult, because everybody right now who's not born again is in a mess. Let's face it. They're not happy. They're depressed. They're probably broke. Their marriage is probably falling apart. So when you go there, you don't really give them Jesus. You want to offer them the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is a better way of life. That's what they're looking for. They're not really looking for Jesus. They're not looking for Muhammad. They're not looking for anybody like that. They're looking for a better lifestyle while they're living on the earth. And the kingdom gives them that. So you say, where does Jesus come in? Well, he is the door, the Bible says in John's gospel, to the kingdom of God. In other words, if they're going to get in the kingdom of God, there's only one way in, and there's only one door, and that's Jesus. So as you lead them to the kingdom, and they want a better life, and they want all the thing the kingdom offers them, it offers them peace and joy and health and victory and all these things, then they need to go through the door, which is Jesus Christ, who paid the price so we could get in. So God's big picture is basically to invade this existing evil world with the culture of the kingdom of God. So that means that everybody we get born again basically is another step in the right direction. It's another victory. In other words, the devil isn't making people evil. They were evil to begin with. He's losing every time you invade someone else's life, every time you tell them that the kingdom's available to them, every time you tell them that there's a better lifestyle for them and they get born again and come in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will replace Satan's evil realm, and it'll do it in the health department. It's going to do it in the wealth department. It's going to do it in politics, thank God. It's going to do it in marriages, relationships, and hopefully even in the church, the kingdom of God is going to take over. Your entrance into the kingdom of God through the new birth has you restored back to your original position of power, authority, God's nature, and culture. So now I'm a son of God. What do I want to do? I want to work with God to do what he wants me to do here on the earth, which is extend the kingdom of God. So the first thing you need to do basically is be born again. Go to John chapter 3. All right, John chapter 3, a religious guy by the name of Nicodemus came. He saw that Jesus was living a different kind of lifestyle. I mean, he was one of the top religious dogs, man. He was doing everything he thought was right. He was wearing the right stuff. He was looking the right stuff. He had the right robe on and everything else. But when he ran into a kingdom person, there was something different about that kingdom person. This is the best way that we can witness. That you don't need a bumper sticker on your shirt that says, I'm a Christian. You don't even really need a cross around your neck. There's nothing wrong with that. But people just being around you ought to be able to tell there's something different about you. You're not worried. You're not upset. You're not, you know, freaking out. You're just calm and you're cool and you're collected and you're walking in victory all the time. And what does this do? This drew him to Jesus. And he came to Jesus and basically said, how come you're operating in power? How come you live the way you do? And notice he said, you must be born again. John chapter 3, look at verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see or understand the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? But Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, you were, and the Spirit, if you're born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. marvel not that I'm going to say to you again, you must be born again. So this is Jesus' one and only sermon on the new birth. He gave it to an older guy in the middle of the night. He said, you must be born again. That means it doesn't matter if you're Catholic. It doesn't matter if you're Lutheran. Doesn't matter if you're Methodist. You must be born again. Don't matter if you think you're a good person. This new birth is a real thing, and it is a miracle that takes place in your life. You can go to church your whole life. You can pray. You can even pastor. You can sing songs in the choir. But you must be born again. So the church has taught that the purpose, basically, of the new birth is to enable us to go to heaven when you die. But notice, once here again, we just read it, Jesus never even mentioned heaven. Didn't say heaven had anything to do with the kingdom. Heaven is simply a byproduct of entering the kingdom of God. When you get born in the kingdom of God, become a citizen, heaven basically belongs to you when you die. Jesus never mentioned heaven. He never equated being born again with heaven. But you are born again to see and start to understand the kingdom of God once you enter into it. When born again, you come under a government, and that government, once again, is called the kingdom of God. Once again, gaining heaven is a byproduct of entering the kingdom of God, but we have stopped with just going to heaven, but there's so much more in the kingdom of God than just going to heaven. And really, when I first got saved and got born again and knew I was going to heaven, I was all excited about going to heaven for about a week, but then I had, you know, I was only 30 years old. What was I going to do now till I died, for goodness sakes? I had no purpose. I had no plan. So what did I do? I did what everybody else does. I got a job. I worked at the job. I made some money. I got married. I had kids. I went and worked. Had kids. Kids grew up. Kids left. And there was really nothing else going on in my life. I did not know that God had a purpose and a plan for me, actually, here on the earth realm. So my job was to bring as much heaven back into this earth as I possibly could. That's my purpose, and that's my goal. Reaching heaven is not your main purpose. It is important. It is good. But it's not your main purpose. Is it extending the kingdom of God? That's why the Bible says, seek ye first, Jesus says, the kingdom of God. So he puts a priority there, doesn't he? He puts first. He just could have said, oh, seek the kingdom of God whenever you get time. But he said first. So my main priority was switched from making money, from, you know, having a nice car, from all this stuff, to seeking the kingdom of God first, how it operated, expanding it, getting it into other people's life, so that his kingdom could come into the earth realm. Now I was living fulfilled. Now I had a purpose. Now I felt like I was actually doing something while I was here. Now I realized that I just wasn't put here just for the heck of it, but I was put here because that's what God wanted to do in this day and in this hour. Praise God. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 2. It really helps to know to have a purpose and a reason why you're here and be able to do something that you know that's right. And the best way you can do that is by basically finding out what God's will is and then doing his will, because after all, he created you. He put you here before you even knew yourself, and he put you here for a purpose. God just doesn't create things for the heck of it. Everything here on the earth, believe it or not, has a purpose. We may not understand what that purpose is, but it does have a purpose. So once you find out God's purpose, I mean, one of the things that changed most when I got in the kingdom of God was my prayer life. Because all I prayed for was my car payment. I prayed for my FPL bill. I prayed for this bill and that bill and this bill. Give me, Lord, help me, give me. And then basically, if it wasn't working, I would try to earn it, go back into religion. Lord, I'm going to church 3 times this week. Did you see me? I was there 3 times this week. I was there Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I mean, you owe me, my goodness sakes. And it doesn't work that way, basically. Instead, my prayer life came, what is your will, God? What do you want done? What can I do for you rather than what can you do for me? And it changed my whole life to start seeking God's kingdom, his will, and everything else so that I could be a part of it. All right, here's Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 19. It's talking about now, therefore you are no more a stranger, you're not a foreigner, but you're a fellow citizens of the saints, and you're of the household of God. This is what happened when you got born again. You are not trying to become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You were born the kingdom of heaven. And once again, the kingdom of heaven is not some spooky place off in the distance, way far away that you can't contact. You actually today have access to heaven even though it's a spiritual place. You can receive from heaven. You can receive things from heaven. You talk to God who's in heaven. You have access to those things. It's not just something you wait and access when you die and go to heaven. You can access us now because it's basically the home country of the colony of earth itself. So here it says when you enter the kingdom of God, number one, you became a citizen. You're no longer a foreigner. Now, you were a foreigner. And it goes on to say, you are now a son in the family of God. I am truly a son of the living God. He's my father. He's responsible for a lot in my life, and I'm his son. So there, we are no more strangers. You're not a stranger from God anymore. You're not a foreigner from God. You now have a new position, and you should have a new focus in life. You should be fulfilling what God wants you to do. Our purpose is no longer to leave this earth and go to heaven, but to change the earth and to impact it for the kingdom of God here on the earth. God basically does not want earth to come to heaven. He wants heaven to come to earth. And even in John 17, you know, Jesus was praying. First of all, he says, we're not of this world. That means we're basically from someplace else. And after he said that, he basically said that he didn't want us to leave the earth. He wanted us to stay here. Well, why does he want us to stay here? To fulfill the job that you were given here before the foundations of the world by God in this exact day and hour. There's people around you today who you see every day who know nothing about the kingdom, who know nothing about God, who know nothing about anything. What are you going to do? You are going to slowly spread the kingdom of God into their life by your talk, by your mindset, by your conduct, by talking to them and helping them in their situations. And what are you doing? You're doing what you were put here to do. So verse 18, if you just go back one verse, it's interesting. It says, so chapter 2, verse 18, for through Jesus Christ we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So by the Spirit of God on the inside of you, you now have access to the Father. Well, where is the Father? The Father's in heaven. You know, our Father who art in heaven, that's where he's at. So that tells me that I've got access today to heaven itself. The Bible tells you to seek first the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is also in heaven, but now it's also here in the earth realm. The Bible says that he will meet all our needs according to his riches in glory, not here from the earth, but from heaven itself. There's an inheritance there for you once you enter the kingdom of God. As you start operating in the kingdom of God, God will supply everything that you need. Now, everything that I want, well, no, probably not. Everything that I need, but my needs will line up with his needs, and he will still give me wants that I want and don't even know that I want in my heart. So what am I doing? I'm doing basically the kingdom of God. I'm seeking the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I'm thinking about the kingdom of God. I'm meditating on the kingdom of God. I'm reading the word on the kingdom of God because I want to know who I am. So I am a citizen of a real country of heaven. You are no longer a foreigner, and you are a son in the family of God itself. You are in the kingdom of God. You became a citizen of the country or the kingdom of heaven by birth. Heaven is a real place. How did you become a citizen of the United States, if you have? You were born here. You didn't do anything spectacular to do it. It's the same way with the kingdom of God, this spiritual kingdom that God's trying to get back into the earth full force. Basically, how did you get into it? You got born again. That's how you got into the kingdom of God. So your name, the Bible said, is written in the book of life. Why is it in the book of life? Because your name's written down as a citizen of heaven the day that you got born again. And many of the things that you're struggling with, and I struggle with in my life, people struggle with sin and they struggle with fear and they struggle with all these things. But basically, the good point is you don't have to struggle with them things anymore because you have authority over those things. The Bible says God has not given you a spirit of fear. Well, if it didn't come from God, then I don't want it. A spirit of love, a power, and a sound mind. The Bible says that you don't have to sin anymore. Sin should not have dominion over you. Why? Because you have authority over it. So now, as I'm finding out my position in the kingdom of God, when I'm tempted to sin, I can say no. When I'm tempted to get sick, I can say no. When I'm tempted to get fearful, I gotta say no. Why? Because those things don't belong to me anymore. I'm in a different kingdom under a different culture, and basically now I'm in the kingdom of God. So now I have heavenly protection. I have heavenly provision. I have heavenly authority and power that God has given me. And citizenship, you know, it's very important for you to be in the kingdom of God. Why? It's a better place to live than any place else. You know, the southern border, we've had a lot of trouble down there where people are trying to come across from all over places. Nobody comes from a real fabulous country to try to get in the United States. They're all coming from a country that's falling apart, basically. What do they want? A better lifestyle. They want a better job. They want their family to have everything that they need. They want all these things to be done for them. So basically, what are they doing? They're basically coming here, trying to get across. And I mean, it's not even legal for them to come in. At least it's legal for us to come in, but it's not in the kingdom of God, but it's not legal for them. So some of them are getting, you know, arrested at the border. Some are getting shot and everything else. But why are they coming in? They're coming in because they want a better country. They want a better life. They want a better place, basically, that they can come to. So it's the same way in the kingdom of God. When we start preaching the kingdom of God and all the good things that are in it, itself that you receive just by being born again, people will start. The Bible says in Luke 16:16 that, let's look at that quick. Go to Luke 16. We've got a little time here yet. All right, Luke 16:16, Jesus says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, what time? Time of the law and the prophets, and until John, now the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. Well, why? It's the same way at the southern border. Everybody heard about the United States. Maybe some of the relation got here, told about how wonderful it is, how nice it is, how the money's better here, everything's better. So what do? They're pressing into it. It's the same way when we start revealing the kingdom of God and how important it is, like Jesus did, preached on the kingdom of God all the time to people. Why? So they could understand it and would want to come into the kingdom of God because that was the best thing for them to do. So the kingdom of God is available here today. It belongs to us. Jesus came, first of all, to introduce it. He also demonstrated the kingdom of God. He came and operated in power, and he lived in victory his whole life. So he was trying to show up that there's a better lifestyle for us here in the kingdom of God when we get born again. And you know, right here it said, you must be born again. God needs you in this day and hour. He needs you in this time. He had you planned for this time and this purpose. You were chosen for such a time as this. And I'll tell you right now, if you're born again, the Spirit of God is after you. If not, you need to become born again. He desires that you enter the kingdom of God and go into God's instruction manual, the Bible, to find out everything that belongs to you and how to operate in your new assignment. The Bible will teach you how to operate in the kingdom, and it'll also show you the ability that you have on the inside of you. Basically, the worst enemy in your life right now is ignorance. Ignorance of the kingdom, ignorance of your power, ignorance of your ability. God's people, the Bible says, is destroyed because of lack of knowledge. So your first step is to be born again. You have a right today, and you've always had a right, to ask Jesus Christ for entrance into the kingdom of God. He's the one that provided it. He's the one that made it so that you could walk into righteousness and peace and joy. He is not holding sin against you right now. Whatever you've done wrong up to this point will be wiped away, basically, because you're entering a new kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. By his death, he has reconciled you to himself. In other words, you're already reconciled, so it's up to you. Are you going to be born again? Are you going to go ahead and say, Jesus, I want part of this kingdom. I want to be born again. I want to come into the kingdom of God, and I want to do that. So the choice is now yours. Your success in life and your fulfillment in life are not a nice car. It's not how big a house you can have. It's not even money or being famous. It's basically, are you going to fulfill your purpose in the kingdom of God that God has given you in this day and in this hour? So you can do it right now. Just say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to be born again. Thank you for providing it for me. I want a new kingdom, and I just receive you now as my Lord and my Savior and as Lord. I put you over my life right now. You are the one who's going to rule and reign over my finances, over my mind, over my marriage, over everything. And I thank you right now for that I am born again in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you for your time and this opportunity to teach to you tonight and show you the kingdom of God. Get your Bible out. Seek it first. Continue to grow in the kingdom things, and you will find out your life will get exciting again in your spiritual life.
Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Your light is green.